Good to see everybody. How are y'all doing today? It's a great day. It's a gorgeous day. I'm excited about the message that I have, but I'm actually really excited because we are commissioning a young man this morning by the name of Jacob Fontenot. Y'all give Jacob a hand. Jacob, come on up. He's got a call of God on his life, and it's pretty cool to see what God's doing in him. And he is about to leave for Guatemala, and we're going to pray that God uses him there. He's going there because God's got a call on his life, yes, but he also has a passion for learning Spanish, and he wants to be used by God there. So we're going to pray over him, but first I want you to just share what's on your heart and what God's got for you in the future. And let me just say, it's way cool because God has a call on all of us. And to see like the call that's on Jacob's life and know that it's not just some random person, like it's not just a Jacob, but all of us have that. And it's so neat when they step out. And I remember that. So y'all give Jacob a hand. Go ahead, man. I'm going to grab my water, though.
Up in the mountains, and it's beautiful. And it all kind of started, I took Spanish classes in high school from freshman to junior year, and I just had a knack for it, and I just loved it. And I started to fall in love with the culture as well. Like, I don't know if you know where Victoria's Taqueria is on Broad Street, but I would make, it's on my way to school, so I'd get, like, breakfast burritos, and I became really good friends with them, and I don't know, I just started to fall in love with the people, and people would always laugh, because I'd always know all the people from the Mexican places everywhere. And so after my third year of Spanish, my dad just kind of suggested going to another country. And I kind of blew it off, but he kept drilling that into me. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So I contacted Pastor Todd, and those plans kind of fell through because the father of the family passed away, and that was pretty tragic. But Mr. Lestraps, a man that used to teach in my school, lived in some other country, and I was just like, can you connect me with anybody? And he happened to know a lady that lives a 10-minute drive from him that takes in students, and they don't speak English, and I'm just going to go stay with them for 2.5 months. And I'm just really, really excited because I just know in me is, you know, a hope. In me is a future for those people. And I know I'm going there for a selfish reason. I want to learn Spanish, of course. But all the while, I want to see those people through the lens that God has, and I want to be led, you know, in the small things, because I'm going to be going in the market, in the streets, and I'm going to be seeing kids and people that are not as well off as I am, and that need some hope, and they need Jesus. And, you know, I'm going to go over there and hope that something's going to happen. You know, I want to leave there having become fluent in Spanish and having planted some seeds of revival there. And it's actually about like 3.5 hours away from Mike and Dottie Clark's orphanage. I don't know if you know that. It's pretty famous, like 500 kids. And, I'm just so excited.
They're from this area. And actually, I went to school at Alleluia Acres back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're from Moss Bluff.
Yeah, okay. So that's pretty neat. And I don't know. I'm just hoping to leave changed and humbled a little bit and just kind of have a wider perspective on people and everything. So the worst part is I'm scared about is I'm a big yeser. Like, I say yes to everything. And especially food, so, like, I'm just going to see some sketchy guy, and he's going to ask me something, I'll be like, yeah, and then think about it afterwards, and so that's, if you pray for anything, just pray that I don't get sick or killed or something, so, but, yeah, that's about it. So.
Awesome. We're going to pray for this man. You can hold on to that. God puts desires in our heart, and just because you follow that desire and that dream doesn't mean that it's selfish. So I'm going to just reject that you're going there for a selfish reason. And I'm also going to reject that you're always a yes man, because I had to like twist your arm for even this.
Okay.
So let's pray for Jacob. Why don't you stretch your hands out to him? Father, I thank you for the call that you've placed on this man's life. And Lord, I just pray that as he leaves what's familiar, what's comfortable, and follows you and the dream that you've placed in his heart, that God, that you see it come to happen, and that, Lord, that there's just something that's birthed inside of him by your Spirit, that he knows that you are the one that guides and leads and directs, and that you will use him in a powerful way in his time in Guatemala. May you bless him, watch over him, protect him, keep him from eating bad food that'll make him sick or from being killed. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Isn't that cool? And I have to say, I'm a yes man when it comes to food, and I ate some meat on a stick in Yoro, Honduras. I don't even know what it was. It was pretty good. I didn't get sick. But I did get sick in Guatemala and in Honduras and El Salvador. But you won't, in Jesus' name. I'm excited about today's message. It's about spiritual gifts. This message series is called Grafted, and it's walking in the Spirit of God, grafted into the spiritual realm, because here's the truth. We all have a physical body, but that's not the essence of who we are. At our essence, we're spirit. Like, we have a body, we have a mind, but we are spirit. And you can take away your body, but you are still there. Everybody knows that in a practical sense and in a spiritual supernatural one. In a practical sense, you are still you. If somebody cuts your arms off and your legs off, and you're still you, aren't you? Because we're not just our body. We're much more than that. But we have to make a decision as to whether or not we are grafted into the spirit in which God operates. And so next week, I'm speaking on the filling of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit filling our lives to overflow, because we decide if we're going to walk in that Spirit or in our Spirit. Now, here's the reality. When we recognize how much God loves us, that He knows us, that He loves us so much that He gave the greatest gift ever, His Son, to wash away every fault, flaw, and sin, every area of hurt and pain from our life, and we come to that revelation, God, that's how much you love me, and we surrender our life back to Him because He's the author of it anyway. In that moment, it's a moment of conversion where the old person dies who is living solely by their flesh, and it's a moment of conversion, and it's a moment of life. It's a moment of salvation where we're saved from the curse of sin and death because we've given our life to Jesus. In that moment, it's very clear. Ephesians 1 says that in that moment, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That God's Spirit resides with us, within us, and we have as much of His Spirit as we're ever going to have. But we decide every day whether we're going to walk in that Spirit or not. Does this make sense? If I'm going to walk full of His Spirit, or I'm going to walk full of the spirit of pride, of arrogance, or anger, or bitterness, or condescension. There's a lot of spirits that people can walk in, right? Y'all know some people that have been hurt and wounded, and they walk in, like, skepticism and bitterness. Like, yeah, I don't know if I believe you. And then they're mad at the whole world. Have y'all met that spirit in people? How about ladies? Y'all met, and men, you probably know this as well, women with a man-hating spirit? I mean, you know the saying, hell hath no fury, like, what? A woman scorned. You meet a woman who has a man-hating spirit, something's happened there. They've been hurt, they've been wounded. Let me just remind you, though, whether it's a man-hating spirit or it's some guy who thinks that it's going to be more manly as he is derogatory in his attitude towards women, that's messed up on both ends, isn't it? But that's indicative of what's going on inside. They're certainly not walking by the Spirit of God. What's so sad is many times Christians walk in that same spirit. Man, that's really messed up. Go read what Paul wrote in Romans 8 and how we are to live, how we're to walk, led by the Spirit of God. And so today I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And I just want to read a few verses about them because I think there's been a lot of confusion in the church at large, particularly if you watch like Christian television. Like, that stuff's crazy. Am I the only one who thinks that? Tell me that there's some craziness on, like, you can get really jacked up watching Christian TV. Anybody agree with me? Tell me I'm not alone. I've watched, like, 15 minutes of it my whole life, and that was enough to go, these people is crazy. Like, that guy good, that one not. Like, this is messed up. It can be confusing, can it? Well, we're going to look at Scripture today about spiritual gifts. In Romans 1, we see this. Paul says, I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. I'm assuming you're here today because you want to grow strong in what God has for you, right? That you want to be grafted into His Spirit and not live life in yours, right? That's kind of weak. Why y'all here? If you're not here to grow strong in the Lord, why are you here? Are y'all here to grow strong in the Lord? Come on, help me out. Good, thank you. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this, pursue love. That's what we're to pursue. But what else? Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. In Acts 19, we see that Paul was given the power to perform unusual miracles, and that he would pray over the rags that he was a tent maker. So he would pray over the rags that he would use to like wipe his sweat away, and he'd pray, God, use these rags that when people like touch them, they're healed. And like people would get the rags that he would send to them, and they'd touch it and they'd be healed. Is that pretty unusual? Is that miraculous? I mean, if I was to send you in the mail, like one of my sweat rags from my workout, or I'd been cutting grass, and I'm like, I'm praying for so-and-so. Man, it's nasty. Let me send him this sweat rag and pray that when they touch it, they don't pass out, but in fact, they're healed. I mean, that's pretty unusual, isn't it? Listen, God does some pretty crazy and awesome things. In Acts 19, it says, Paul laid hands on people. The Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. How cool is that? Those who believed what Peter said in Acts 2, it says, they were 3,000 of them added to the church that day. This is Peter, the guy who had denied Christ not long before, the guy who had told him first, I'll never leave you. I will always be there for you. And then when Jesus needed him most, Peter punked him. And yet in a moment when God's Spirit came on him, and we see the outpouring of God's Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up. Is given a gift in that moment, a gift to speak to thousands of people, and their eyes are open, they hear from God, and they turn their hearts towards him. Isn't that amazing? I think it's pretty cool. In Acts chapter 9, we see Peter again. He's going to this town, and somebody gets him, and they've heard what God's used him to do, and they say, you need to come pray for this lady. She's dead. Like, people are mourning, but we just believe that God's going to use you. And it says this in verse 40. It says, Peter asked them to leave the room. It's a dead lady. It says, then he knelt and he prayed. Turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Is that wild? People being raised from the dead. Is that awesome? The next verse is so key. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. There are gifts that God gives us. They're spiritual in nature, and they're not to puff us up or to make us proud, but to bring people to him. Man, I so clearly remember, this was years ago, I was praying for a young lady after service, and man, just sticks with me, that I was praying for her, and she was just not really clear on why I should be praying for her, and sometimes you get people just like, just pray for me, I'm just miserable, I want more of God, I don't really like myself, and so I'm praying for this young girl, she's a teenager. And as I put my hands on her to pray for, I see this picture in my mind, this image. And it's her, but it's her as a little girl in a yellow dress in a field of flowers. And, like, I see it very clearly. And I'm like, that's odd, random. And then I just sense that the Lord is telling me to describe that picture to her and then to tell her that's how God sees her. Is this beautiful, precious little girl. And so I do. I tell her, and this is the picture that I see, and I just really believe that God is saying to you, that's how he views you. And she just breaks down crying, and I'm like, well, I guess that's good, and move on. And the next week, she comes up to me again, like mildly freaking out, and she's got a picture in her hand. And it's a picture of her as a little girl in a yellow dress in a field of flowers, and it was the picture that I'd seen in my mind. And I'm at that point, I'm kind of freaking out too. And she says, this was the only time in my life that I ever felt I was truly beautiful. And I'm like, wow, what was that? That was the Spirit of God that put something in my brain to give to someone so that they could know the truth of how he views them and who he is. That's the point of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And I'm just convinced that a lot of people are very, very ignorant of what God has for them in spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about spiritual gifts because it is in a moment God will use you in the way that he's gifted you and in the way that he's wired you to be his mouthpiece, to use what he's given you in that moment when you've surrendered your life to the Lord so that people are transformed forever. Man, I'm so grateful that, you know, that Pastor Chris Stevens he's actually from Tennessee, but he came to Jennings because he followed the call of God on his life, and he has a gift of evangelism. And he spoke to me, and God used the gift in him to transform my life. It was totally God, but if he hadn't have operated in faith to come to Podunk Backwoods, Louisiana in Jennings, and then speak what God put on his heart, my life would be vastly different. Listen, it's not that he was gifted pastorally and as a teacher and as an evangelist. It was because he was obedient to follow the call of God that God touched my life. It was God, but God used him. And God has a passion to use us. Years ago, I was given some furniture for my grandmother. She lived in Lafayette and Bendel Gardens, a very nice area of Lafayette. And she lived in a mid-century home. It was built in 1955, heavily influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright, and her furniture was corresponding. And if you're not artsy and architecturally interested in things or savvy, you might not get it, but it was a really cool home. And she had what I thought growing up was the ugliest furniture around. And we were given this really blue 1950s looking sofa, real clean lines, and my wife and I, we just like, oh wow, thanks for the velvet blue sofa. That's great. And we weren't too fond of it, and we left it at my grandmother's house, and she had passed, and we had this sofa. We're like, man, that thing's ugly. And we gave it away to a friend of ours who was in college and needed a sofa. And my wife says that we had no sense or style back then. Not that I have any style. I dressed myself today, so I don't know if I'm stylish or not. My wife has now unbelievable and tremendous style, and it is very often that she goes back and says, I cannot believe I gave away that sofa because it was phenomenal. Today would probably be a $3,000 or $4,000 sofa, and I remember, you can look at pictures of it, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous. I just didn't know. I didn't know that it was so nice. I thought it was like nothing, and so we just kept it at Oma's house, and then we just gave it away. And let me tell you, lots of people don't realize, they're ignorant of what God's already placed in you as a gift that's tremendous, and it's a gift to make things beautiful. You do realize God is very concerned about making things beautiful. Have you ever noticed people who have been far from God and they surrender their life to him, and as they passionately pursue him and surrender every aspect of their life that they once held on to very tightly, or the areas that initially they held on to and then those areas end up holding on to them in addiction and bondage and depression. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? But to see those people encounter Christ and then begin to walk in the truth of who he is and who they are and the fullness of what he has for them, it's like they physically begin to change and get more beautiful. Have y'all noticed that before? Maybe I'm the only one that notices that as a pastor because I get to see what happens in people as they follow Jesus. But has anybody else noticed that? I've noticed that when people like turn from their sinful life. If y'all notice that, come on, raise your hand if you say, I noticed that. Why? Because God has a heart for us to make us beautiful, but he also has a heart to use us to make others beautiful and to make the world in which we live beautiful. Heck, that was his plan from the beginning in Genesis. And so I want you to know that we are called to desire spiritual gifts and not be ignorant of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what we see, verses 4 through 7. It says, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Man, there's some cool spiritual gifts that you have, and maybe you don't know it. And God wants to use you to first make your life beautiful, and then to help make other people's lives beautiful. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. And I want you to have a full life that you know, man, this is great. Even when it seems by all outward trappings to be really hard. How many of you have walked through hard seasons recently? Anybody? Even in the difficulty, you can know that God's with you and that he'll take that hard season and make it something amazing. That's Romans 8:28. And if you're taking notes, and you should be taking notes, write that down. So I want to look at five things spiritual gifts are not. You ready? Spiritual gifts, they're not talents. A talent is innately you. Y'all know people who are really, really smart? Like really smart. Do y'all? Man, y'all are really quiet. I feel sorry for y'all's kids. I'm just saying, if you don't believe your kids are really smart, they got no shot of, son, maybe one day you can hold down a part-time job as a ditch digger because you're not that bright. I mean, come on now. Y'all know some people who are smart. Good. Great example. Actually, Jacob Fontenot, top of his class, valedictorian, smoked the ACT with like a 39. You can't, but it was really, really close to, it was, I'm like, wow, that dude's really, really smart. That's just something that's been innately given to him. It's just a talent that he has because it's him. And that's not bad. That's good. But spiritual gifts aren't about your innate ability. They're about God giving you something so that you can do something that's more than just natural. Because lots of people are naturally gifted musically, mathematically. But the supernatural gifts, they're not talents. They're something that's given so that you can be used by God to enact spiritual transformation. Y'all following me here? They're not talents. The second thing, spiritual gifts are not. Spiritual gifts are not given to the elite few. Spiritual gifts aren't given to people who are good enough to receive them. They're given to all believers who've surrendered their life to Christ. It's not some elite person like, oh, wow, they have them. They have the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues or they have the gift of encouragement. We are gifted. There's not just given to a few people. It's given to all of us. All of us. And that's really cool. That's empowering for me as well to know that God's given me something special. But lots of times people just don't know. The third thing, spiritual gifts are not signs of maturity. I've actually had conversations with people and I've heard them say, well, listen, we just need to recognize that God wants us to take this to the next level. And we need to make sure that everybody's speaking in tongues. To which I say, number one, you're messed up, you're bringing division, you're bringing condemnation on people, and you are making spiritual gifts a sign of spiritual maturity. Do you know what that does? That breeds division in the body of Christ. Because even the Bible clearly says that, like, it's the Holy Spirit who gives to whom he wishes, and not everybody's going to speak in tongues. I mean, it's very clear. I've heard people make strong arguments in their minds of like how everybody should and would, but I'm going, you have to take a scripture and put it in, like take it completely out of the context of the whole and focus on one to come to that conclusion. Here's the reality. Spiritual gifts are not a sign of maturity. They're not a sign of spiritual maturity. That would be the equivalent of saying, well, Charity and Rustin and Brittany, because they can sing so well, they just must be unbelievably financially stable. I mean, I'm assuming they are. I don't know. But like to make a correlation because someone sings well, they're good at finances is a stupid correlation, isn't it? Is it? It's really dumb. And there's lots of correlations that don't make sense. And here's a correlative fact. With an increase in ice cream sales, there's also an increase in violent crime. It's a fact. Do you know that? Does that have anything to do with anything? No, it does not. I mean, it's a correlation. The best that statisticians can come to understand is that, well, maybe it's because people are out more when it's hot, and so they get agitated when they're hot. Y'all get agitated when you're hot? And so they violently react in a tough situation. Who knows? It's a dumb correlation. The correlation between someone is gifted with prophecy or someone is gifted with teaching, and that means they're spiritual mature. That's ridiculous. The fourth thing, spiritual gifts are not fruits of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 11, it's very clear. It tells us that the gifts and the callings of God, they're without repentance. That means that it's not like taken back. Actually, in the New Living, it says his gifts and his call, they can never be withdrawn. That means God gives you a gift, and it is in no way, shape, or form, it's not connected to you being able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Here's how you know you're walking by God's Spirit. It's Galatians. It says, you'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's right, I left out faithfulness a few weeks ago. I got called on the carpet. I said, well, I'll leave it out every time then. We'll just be consistent and faithful. If you have, let's just start with those three, love, joy, peace. You know you're walking by the Spirit of God, because you're walking in His Spirit. The overflow of that is love. You can receive it, you can give it. Joy, regardless of the garbage that you're going through, that you're okay and you can have hope through it all. Peace, that you don't stay awake at night with your brain rolling because of all the situations in which you find yourself. It's peace. That's evidence that you're being led by the Spirit of God. But spiritual gifts, being able to operate in prophecy or tongues or encouragement or teaching, that can be separate. You're gifted. Doesn't mean you're walking in integrity. Does this make sense? That's how people with tremendous teaching gifts and on a national or international scale can do something stupid and people go, oh my gosh, how did they do that? I mean, they were so amazingly used by God because they were functioning in their gift and not in the character of Christ. But gifting and walking by the Spirit of God are two separate things. May we never forget that. That's why we keep our eyes on Him, not on people. People will always let you down, because I don't care how spiritually mature you are. At some point, you're probably likely to do something stupid, right? Man, I don't need a show of hands of how many of you have done something stupid. You're probably not going to raise your hand. If you're married, your spouse will. Them, not me, them. It's not spiritual maturity. The last thing, spiritual gifts are not something to fear. A lot of people have been freaked out by spiritual gifts. I get it, because I was. I saw people speaking in tongues and went, wow, that's crazy. What I didn't realize, it was biblically completely out of context in a service with lots of people, and everybody was speaking in tongues. The guy on the microphone was speaking in tongues. And the Bible clearly says, if you do that, people who don't know God and people who know God but don't speak in tongues, they're going to think that you're absolutely insane. And I went, yeah, they do. They really do. I get it. And it totally freaked me out. They're not something to fear. Listen, just because somebody has crazy preacher hair, I hope I don't have crazy preacher hair. And because people like get knocked to the ground and you're like, that is weird. Let me just remind you, it doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because there's craziness and insanity doesn't mean it's not God. Does it seem sometimes a little strange? Come on. Yeah, it does. Strange to me too. But let me just remind you, spiritual gifts aren't weird. They're not scary. And when they're used, and remember, the point of a spiritual gift is for God to be glorified. Why do they have, go read 1 Corinthians 14, why do they have like such a heavy emphasis on order in the body of Christ? Because if we're not careful, we'll make it about us unintentionally, and we'll draw people to us instead of God. The spiritual gifts are to draw people to God. Can I give you a definition of a spiritual gift, what it is? Y'all ready? Write it down. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. I want to look at two passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's four instances in the Bible with four lists that we look at that talk about spiritual giftings. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at Romans and 1 Corinthians, and we'll go through this relatively quickly. And I really just feel that this message is kind of more of a teaching message, because I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts, and I want you to operate in the gifts that God's given you. It says in Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, "In his grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you." If your gift is serving others, serve them well. Let's look at prophecy, though. Do you know what prophecy is? It's simply someone that's been given the gift to speak on behalf of God. Now, they may not always speak on behalf of God. They might not speak to an entire nation. They may speak to an individual, or they may speak to a nation, but they have that gifting that they can just hear the voice of the Lord, and they've been gifted to speak on behalf of God. Serving others. If that's your gift, verse 7, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I would dare say that you got one of these gifts. Do you know it? Do you operate in it? If it's prophecy and you just feel like, man, I think, man, maybe this is what the Lord wants to say to them. Don't be afraid. If you need to bounce it off Scripture, man, you better, because it better not contradict what God's already spoken. And if it does, you can guarantee this, it ain't God. So how do you know what your gift is? How do you know where you're spiritually gifted? You ever wonder that? We're going to look at that biblically and practically, but I want to give like kind of what I call the apple pie demonstration on spiritual gifts. And if somebody can crank down the AC, because I don't know about y'all, but I'm burning up. Y'all hot? Thank you. Whew. The apple pie demonstration is like this. You're at a table full of people, and you're about to eat apple pie. And one person, as they begin to eat, the plate tips over. It's on the edge, and it tips over, and it falls, that and the ice cream. Because, I mean, how can you have apple pie without ice cream? And it falls like all on their shirt and in their lap everywhere. How you respond might determine the spiritual gift that you have. If you have a spiritual gift of prophecy, you might be able to look at them and go, I knew that was about to happen. I almost said something. I was like, don't be an idiot. Can't you see it's right on the edge and it's about to fall? That would be, maybe you have the gift of prophecy. If you see that happen and you go, oh my gosh, let me help you. Let me help clean that up. Maybe you have the gift of serving. If you would say, you know, I actually did a study. I don't know why I was Googling on like how to eat apple pie, because I knew we were going to have it. And like they say that this is how you're supposed to cut it. This is the type of plate you're supposed to have it on. Like, we need to do that. Like, maybe you have the gift of teaching. What else? How about encouragement? You know, don't worry about that. You know, you are awesome, and we don't think any less of you because, like, you spilled your stuff. It's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't worry about it. You're great. We love you. You're encouraging them. If that's how you might respond, maybe you have the gift of encouragement. Maybe it's the gift of giving, and you would say, oh, my goodness. You know what? Take my pie. You can have mine. I'm so sorry that happened. Take mine. In fact, you know, I'm going to buy extra pie for everybody. You might have the gift of giving. If your response would be like, all right, hey, you, go get the napkins. You, get some water. I need you to go ahead and start, yeah, like, fix all the. You might have a gift of leadership. And if your natural inclination would be to, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I know, all over your clothes. Gosh, you know what? Let me just hug you. Maybe you have the gift of kindness. Like, I don't want you to think that, like, spiritual giftings means that you're going to operate outside of the way that God's actually hardwired you. Spiritual gifts don't have to be conjured. They don't have to be like, oh, and now I will operate. It's, God gives that to you. Like, you just do it. 1 Corinthians 12, look at what it says, verses 7 through 11. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. What's the point of spiritual gifts? It is not so you can run around a church and speak in tongues and carry a flag. That's crazy. That's old school 80s crazy charismatic. That is not your spiritual gifting. That is you being like taking away what God wants to do in a service and the focus on him and on you. And if you have ever done that, we love you. The 80s were insane apparently for the church. I don't know. I just remember walking into a service and go, they are crazy. Sorry. They're there so we can help each other. Anybody here ever been encouraged by someone and it did something to you? Man, awesome. Anybody here, you've had somebody come to you and say, you know what? You're doing this. And I know, and I'm just telling you, you need to consider this. I really think this is what the Lord is saying to you. And like they point out something and it might not be that comfortable. And maybe you were an idiot to put the plate on the edge of the table. Didn't you see? Has anybody ever had somebody speak to you that way and like bluntly and but truthfully and in love and it brought you close to God? Man, that's a help and it's a gift of prophecy perhaps. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit, he gives a message of special knowledge. That means you know something. Kind of like the story that I told with the girl with the dress. I just knew I was supposed to share that with her, saw that image, and man, it was so God. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Whew, that's pretty cool. Some people, just God uses them to bring healing. I prayed for that gift. I do not have it. Like people often as pastor want me to go and pray for them if they're sick, and I do. You might die, but I do it. I'll usually bring somebody with me that I know God uses them in healing. Because, you know, I mean, I will pray for you and God will hear my prayer, but for that's not primarily how I'm gifted. It's just not. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. Can I tell you, there have been times, and I feel like I'm in that season now, where God's giving me great faith for something. And I'm excited. I actually will be with all of those who are on our serve team that serve here. I'm sharing that Sunday night. Man, I'm pumped about that because I feel like God's just given me specifically great faith for what's to come. To someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. To one person, he gives the power to perform miracles. Another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Man, if you can just look at people, like maybe walking across a room and go, I know what's going on with that person. I'm usually pretty good at discerning. It's a spirit of discernment. Like you'll hear people say, like, I can read people. Can you read people? If you got, like, there's some things, like, across a parking lot, I can go, I know what's going on with that person. That's not me. That's a spirit of discernment. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. That would be tongues. While another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. That would be the gift of interpretation. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. But we all have them. So how do you discover your spiritual gifts? 5 very simple, practical things, and then we'll wrap up. Like I said, I think this is more of a teaching message, and I want to challenge you at the end. 1, study what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The Bible talks very clearly about them in 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. The Bible says that we should desire, earnestly desire, spiritual gifts. So when was the last time you had a desire to operate in a spiritual gift? To seek God about what that is? Or to earnestly desire them? How do I know what my gift is? How am I gifted? Study what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The second thing, why don't you try asking God what they are? Lord, show me, how can I be used in the giftings that you've given me to help other people? God wants you to help others. You know, I have 4 kids, and if I gave them a gift that I knew, if they would just use this gift, it could change their life and change the world. And I gave it to them, and it was all wrapped up, and they never opened it. how would that, as a father, as a parent, how would you feel? You'd be like, I've given that, don't, what? Let me just tell you, God's not upset with you. He's waiting for you to open it up, to seek him and to ask him, like, how can you use me? Because he has something for you that will transform the world. And that is not hyperbole. He's gifted you some kind of way. Let me just tell you, I love people who know their spiritual gift and they know it's encouragement. I put those people around me because I think the enemy has come with me many times to have the opposite of a godly spiritual gift. It's been like the demonic gift of self-deprecation, hating on yourself. Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. Be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I love it when people encourage because I need that. I'm a words of affirmation guy. That means when people tell me things like that, like I can conquer the world. But if I'm listening to the voice of the enemy, like he'll speak, I'll throw it out. But man, that's hard, isn't it? It's amazing when you ask God, Lord, what is it? And you find yourself just naturally giving people compliments. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. Use that, because I'm just telling you, I am the product of parents who constantly encouraged me, like, you can do it. You are smart. You were, you know, I'm just reminded of the old Stuart Smalley Saturday Night Live skit. Some of y'all that are old enough will remember that he would sit in front of the mirror. You're good enough. You're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you is daily affirmations. You know, I laughed at that. I thought it was hilarious. But at the same time, I'm going, man, I kind of need that. Is there anybody around that can do that for me? And routinely, God would send people that knew that that was their gift and would operate in it. And I feel in a large sense I am where I am today because there have been people in my life that have operated in spiritual giftings. The third thing, examine what you enjoy and do well. What do you do well? Like, I can see things where people are screwing up, but I can fix it. Not me. I know, I'm not saying that in arrogance. Like, they'll be dealing with a situation and I'll just be able to clearly see what's going on. Like, you need to fix this and this and this and this, and here's the scripture to back it up. And those giftings are probably a mix of the prophetic and teaching. Not arrogantly, but like I'm actually pretty good at that. Okay, what do you do well? Why don't you seek God, study his word, maybe he'll show you. The fourth thing, take a spiritual gifts test. Listen, this is not foolproof, but it may help you identify the way that God has gifted you to help other people. Take a spiritual gifts test. And after researching them and doing a bunch of them, the one that I'm going to recommend, and it's a new recommendation. We have that available up on the screen, and we'll put it on Facebook as well, and we'll put it on our website. It's gregweens.com/gifts/. Very simple. This guy's a leader in the body of Christ, and it's, I think, 120 questions, but they're really quick and easy. And at the end of it, it gives you a report of the areas that you might be gifted in. It's not foolproof, it's not definitive, but it may help you to understand how God's hardwired you so that you can feel confident in stepping out in the way that he's already gifted you. The last thing as we wrap up, this is it, and I know I'm going a little late, but that's all right. Do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. So many times you think, well, I can't say that. That's really going to offend them. Don't worry about that. Do it in love. Do it with a heart to help. And do it because the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on your heart and saying, you need to do this. Don't feel awkward in giving someone a compliment. Don't feel awkward in a random act of kindness. Do that because you know that God's gifted you in that area because you earnestly desire spiritual gifts and you earnestly desire to operate in them. The 80-20 rule is so true in churches. 20% of the people give 80% of the finances. Do you know that? In any given church, 20% of the people give 80% of the finances. 20% of the people give 80% of the finances and do 80% of the work. Is it just me or is that messed up? I'm going to say that again. 20% of the people give 80% of the finances in the body of Christ. That means 80% of the people hardly give anything. Is that messed up? Like, this isn't about money. This is about us being what God's called us to be. 20% of the people do 80% of the work? What? Yep, no, that's for the body of Christ. That's true. Why is that? because people don't realize that the church is incomplete if we don't operate in the fullness that God's called us to. So here's my question for you. Are you operating in the fullness to which God's called you to? Because everybody here has been gifted. Are you operating in it? Do you know what it is? And do you earnestly seek God and say, God, help me in this. Use me in this. God wants you to be full. He wants the church to be full of his presence and his power. And then we look at the church and go, why is it not? And then we're critical. And yet, do we examine our own hearts and say, God, is there an area where I'm not operating in your fullness? And many times, it's in the area of spiritual gifts. Because we're just not encouraging, even though we've been wired to be that way. We're not kind, even though we love doing that. We just, for some reason, feel inadequate to go up to someone we may not know well in an act of kindness. We don't want to speak, even though we can see clearly what's going on, and we might have a prophetic bend. Or you hesitate to teach because what will people think? And no. Help others. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you know there's an area in your life where you're not operating in fullness, that you know that God's putting his finger on your heart this morning. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I know that there's an area in my life where I'm not operating in fullness. If that's you, just raise your hand. Just raise it right where you are. Man, that's a lot of people. Father, I just pray right now for those who raise their hand. Lord, I just pray that you meet them. That, Father, that they walk in fullness. Lord, that they seek you. They study your word. That, Lord, that they pursue you and say, God, what do you have for me? And Father, I just pray that today is a day where they are filled by your presence and your power. Lord, I just pray that you fill us. Let's stand together. Man, may we operate in the giftings that God's given us. Everybody wants to have a life that is full, don't they? Only really unhealthy people like bask in their hurts, their pains, their wounds, their shortcomings, their failures, and bask in the misery of life. Only really messed up people do that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Do you want to be that person? Come on, y'all can talk to me. Do you want to be that person? Do you want to walk in fullness? Then let's seek God. And so here's, yes, seek God if that's you and operate in fullness, but here's my challenge. Next week I'm speaking on being filled with the Spirit of God. And so I just really sense that it's a key message, but it's also a key time in our body. So I'm asking all of you to pray and fast with me. I'll be praying and fasting every day next week, starting Monday, with what God is calling us to and seeking him to fill us with his presence and his power. Because there's greatness coming. I just firmly believe it. In the lives of people here, in our church, but more than that, in our community. And there is an outpouring of God's Spirit in this region that I just sense is coming. And it is bigger than any one church. But this one church better be ready for it. And we will be if we seek him. Pray with me. Fast with me every day next week. We're praying that God moves, that next week we see, wow, something cool. The last thing, if you're here and you're far from God, let me remind you, he's a good father. He loves you. Don't walk out of here. If you sense him drawing you to him, don't push him away. He loves you. That's why Jesus came. He'll make everything new. Prayer partners, can you guys come? As we say amen, if you need prayer, if you raised your hand, let me encourage you, come up and pray with one of our prayer partners. If you are far from God, definitely walk up here as soon as I say amen. There's three ways to connect with us. Number one, right up here at the altar. Second, fill out a connection card, drop it in the box by one of the doors or by the coffee bar on the way out. And the third is online. Our website, churchtheking.us. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time today. I pray that you are glorified and we walk in your fullness. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you. God bless. See y'all soon.